Isn't it great to be a Christian? Amen. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And altogether the congregation said, Amen. Amen. That's what the scripture says in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. We listened to a lot of different stories yesterday. I think the best stories are the ones that actually happened to you. I was teaching in the Christian school out in California to the 8th grade class. We were studying the book of Luke chapter 15. That's, of course, the great story of the prodigal son. We read through it, and I had kind of worked on a question or two that I hope to be able to invoke a little bit of discussion from them. And so after we had read it and made a couple of comments, I asked this question. Who do you think was the only one back home that did not cheerfully welcome the return of the prodigal son? And before anyone could raise their hand, one of those eighth graders said, "The fatted calf." What do you do then? Well, you do your best to just get back into the scripture and try to teach the lesson. Of course, it took a while for him to settle down, but anyway. On Sunday nights, we've been talking about angels. I mentioned that just in case you're interested in coming tonight. We'll be talking about them again. In the book of Hebrews, there's a passage as the first chapter of that book ends. It ends with a couple of verses that say this: "But to which of the angels said he, at any time, to sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" That was a reference, of course, to God talking about Christ. And he'd been comparing Jesus with the angels and with mankind and so on and so forth in a number of those things. And then he concludes in verse 14, and he says about the angels, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister," or to do service, in other words, "for them who shall be the heirs of salvation?" Well, that's who we are. At least that's what we hope. That's what our hope is in our salvation. And then, as chapter 2 begins, as of course you know, these were all letters and they weren't divided into chapters, it goes into the very next statement. So listen to this. This is our scripture that I will launch from today and talk about our great salvation. Remember that Jesus says that wherever two or three of you are gathered together, there I am in your midst. Jesus is with us when we gather in his name. So the writer of the book of Hebrews says, "For this reason," now you know the reason, he talked about all of these comparisons, "for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it." The old King James language, you said, "lest we let them slip." Let these things slip away. Anyone in this room have trouble paying attention? Hello? Some of you over here, yes? Trouble paying attention. Well, that's what he's talking about, isn't it? He's saying that we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so we do not drift away from it. "For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable." Now, in our study, we've been emphasizing the idea of the purpose of angels. And of course, they are God's ministering servants. That's what we read about. But we know that they were used as messengers to bring the word to the people. And if their word proved unalterable and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, and it was confirmed unto us by those who heard Him. Now, that's an important concept for us to remember. That study, that is listening to what God has to say to us and what Jesus left for us in His will, that is, in the good gospel or the gospel of the good news as we read it and learn about it. Salvation, of course, is important on the individual level to every one of us here today. I want to talk to you about that today, and I just want to mention three things, and I hope there'll be a simple enough lesson for us to take home, not forget it, lest we slip away or let them drift away, that we have to be reminded all of the time. Three things we want to talk about in our lesson today. Jesus will save us from the guilt of sin. Jesus saves us from the guilt of sin. Now, I don't know how many of you were praying earnestly about that. I was close to those things that those kids had. I could have run up there and snuck one of those, I think, before David knew what was happening. Who do you think might have been the whistleblowers if I'd have tried that? You know, that's a good thing, you know, when there's others around, you think they might. That's a good thing when you're being tempted. Jesus saves us from the guilt of sin. The Bible tells us that there is no one righteous, not even one. We're all sort of in the same grouping, aren't we? We're all in the same boat. We've all sinned. As Romans 3 and 23 tells us, fallen short of the glory of God. We all have this need to be saved and to have sacrificial salvation found in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians, we have a marvelous passage in chapter 5 and verse 21 where Paul was writing and said to the brethren there at Corinth, "For He hath made Him," that is Jesus, of course, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Jesus became our sacrifice and allowed us to become the righteousness of God. Jesus saves us, you see, from the guilt of sin. And the acceptance of that great pardon gives you and me a sense of great peace. And we know, as Paul was writing in the book of Ephesians, probably the more popular passage about salvation and how we go about our, we are saved. "For grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any person or man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, that we should all walk in them," or in those good works. Justification, being justified by faith. That's the way Paul writes or says to us in in Romans 5 and verse 1, He tells us, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access into the grace wherein," or this grace wherein, "we stand." That frees our conscience So the writer of Hebrews will say later in chapter 10 in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, and having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Those are the great marvelous things that happens to us in salvation by Jesus. Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and at verse 8 that he gives us great joy. There's a marvelous joy that comes because of this salvation. Even though we haven't seen him, we know that when he appears, we will see him. But we, even us, have not seen him, yet we love him. And in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what God promises us, this marvelous glory in Christ Jesus. We know he is the only way. The Bible teaches us that he is that only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we live in a realm in which we're told about all kinds of different religions, but there is only one Savior, and that's the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. No matter what you might hear from other corners or other places. I love what Luke has recorded for us in the book of Acts in chapter 4 and at verse 12. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. He's talking about Jesus. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. He knew that that was Jesus, the Son of the living God. What a marvelous thing we have in that salvation. He frees us, you see, from the guilt of sin. He allows us to have these pure consciences and to be able to have peace and joy because of his sacrifice. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. See, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's Hebrews 9 and verse 22. Paul would say in Ephesians 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Now this may be rather redundant in quoting those passages to you. That's not my purpose. But I want to reassert with you that what the Scripture says is very simple and something that we should be able to hold on to, I would think, without any difficulty. Hear a passage that tells us Jesus saves us from the guilt of sin. We don't have to worry about that. Now, I don't know about you. If I didn't have guilt, I don't know where I might go. I might could have eaten one of those little yellow chickens or ducks or whatever that thing was and not felt guilty, Doug. How about you? I've done those kinds of things. The Bible is telling us that what Jesus has done for us has removed from us the guilt that sin brings with it. Now, I'm not promoting continuous sin. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be great for us to feel like that all of the time, knowing that Jesus has lifted us from the burden of that guilt. Not only does he do that, but he also saves us from the power of what sin is. Now, I don't know how tough that may have seemed for some of you. Maybe you don't like chocolate cookies and yellow ducks. And maybe that wouldn't have been tempting for you. But I saw some faces up here that were looking rather intently at that plate of things that David had up here. You weren't alone, kids. I saw a couple of others wiping slobber off of their face right over in this area. Yeah, they saw something they liked too. That's powerful when it's in front of you. Paul makes a statement in the book of Romans, chapter 7, in verse 24, Jerry, and he tells us over there, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Boy, he was talking to me, Travis. It's tough to sometimes overcome it. But Jesus, you see, led us on that path. He walked the way in front of us. He came and lived a life on the earth to show us how to go about living. I heard an interesting political statement this morning. Someone said Jesus was a socialist. I guess they never read, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which was God." Jesus wasn't a political person, people. He asked us to do good. That's what we're supposed to be about. No matter who we elect in any office, we serve the Lord God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I get an amen? I know I'm putting you to sleep. I'm reading you a lot of scripture today, or getting scripture out to you. But I want you to have those because they're so important to us overcoming this kind of thinking that we have, I think, sometimes stuck in our thoughts. When Peter's writing in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says in verse 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps." How you coming with that? How you dealing with that? Oh, that's easy enough. Just read where Jesus went and you'll just follow and do what He did, right? Well, yeah, it's not quite that easy, is it? I mean, living a life like Jesus lived. A sinless life. "For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to help them that are tempted." Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think David was helping them youngins down here today with their temptation? Was he helping them? Don't speak up. I see it on your faces. You put a bowl of candy in front of me and you're in trouble. That's all I got to tell you. I know some folks around here that'll eat a fried onion on you before you know what happened to you. Yeah, there are a lot of things that we are tempted by. And I'm using food because I think we all understand that. But we have much stronger kind of temptations, don't we? And it's not a good thing to be tempted by them. And yet we're being told, because Jesus suffered, that He helps us in our temptation. He leaves us an example so that we can live our lives in a better way. "We are more than conquerors," Paul will write in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. We're able to overcome because of who Jesus is and what He did. "Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Or maybe this is another great passage for you that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 13, where He tells us there's no temptation that has taken you but such as common to man. For God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. I hope you're finding that power in living your life for Jesus Christ. Doug, you gave us a good lesson today in class. You used the book of Jude. And In verses, you didn't get this far, at least you hadn't when I left out on you. Down in verses 24 and 25. But he says in that book, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence and his glory with exceeding joy." Man, I'm telling you, those are verses that encourage me and help me to know that God is really on my side. To the only wise God and our Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Jesus not only saves us from the guilt of sin and from the power of sin, but this is what we're all grateful for. He saves us from the penalty of what that sin is all about. You know that the Bible says, "Be not deceived, for whatsoever a person or a man soweth, that shall he also reap." We're also told, that's Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 that we were mentioning there. But he also tells us that he makes intercession for us. And he helps us. He's able also to save them to the uttermost, he tells us, if we come to God by him, or through Christ, in other words, seeing that he lives ever to make intercession for us. He saves us from the penalty of that sin. And aren't we grateful for that? "My little children," says John, "these things write I unto you, that you may sin not. If any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Whosoever therefore shall confess my name before men, him will I confess before the Father, which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before the Father, which is in heaven." What a marvelous idea to know that the penalty of sin I do not have to endure. Great is our salvation. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Saved from guilt, saved from the power of sin, and saved from the penalty of sin. That's what Jesus does for any person who comes to him and obeys him. I hope you'll go today and spend your week. We will know that Jesus is our way of escape. He is our Savior. I hope that he will encourage you as you live your life for him. We invite you to come while we stand, while we sing, Tommy.